You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. What will Governor Tony Evers do with a roughly $250 million tax cut proposal that the legislature delivered to him? What are the fates of a package of bills that would help Wisconsin's dairy farmers? Those are just a couple of the questions coming out of last week's sessions of the state Senate and Assembly. The Senate is scheduled to meet one more time next month. The Assembly had what should be its final working day of 2020 last Thursday. To help us sort through these questions and look at what the future holds for a number of state legislative measures, we called up WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White. Laurel, welcome back to Central Time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
One of the big stories coming out of the legislature here is what to do with this projected budget surplus. Lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, looking at an income tax cut proposal. What's in their plan?
So Republicans in both the state assembly and Senate have approved this tax cut proposal. Basically, what it would do is it raises the maximum standard deduction for all kinds of income tax filers in Wisconsin. It would save Wisconsin taxpayers an average about $106 a year. They say that's, you know, returning the surplus money that they got from tax collections to taxpayers. They also want to change some property tax collections for businesses in Wisconsin in terms of how they handle the value of some businesses' equipment, giving them a little bit of a break there. And then they also want to pay down about $100 million of the state's current debt.
Governor Evers had a different idea of what to do with this budget surplus. What was he looking for?
So he did. He had a very different idea. What he wanted to do was put more money into K-12 education in Wisconsin. Obviously, education is a big deal for him. And then kind of as an offshoot of that, cut property taxes a bit in the state.
Now, check me on this, Laurel. This is a one-time budget surplus. This is how our current budget plays out, given the realities of tax revenue and things like that. But both the Republican plans and the governor's plans are ongoing budget commitments for the future. Do I have that right?
That's right. So, and that's definitely part of the conversation when these proposals come out. And that was a big point of contention for a tax cut that was passed soon after Governor Evers took office. Actually, Republicans had a tax proposal then that the governor vetoed because he had concerns about a long-term funding source for a tax cut. So, that hasn't been as much a part of the conversation here. Essentially, this would be using a one-time influx of money to pay for the tax cut now, and then the budget would just have to accommodate that in the future.
Before we move on from this, lawmakers have passed this. It's up to the governor now. What's the read on whether he's going to sign or veto this?
That's kind of the million-dollar question right now. We really don't know for sure. He's obviously been pretty critical of the plan since it was first rolled out because he had his own idea about how he wanted to spend the money. So he's not exactly receptive or warm about the Republican plan that's on his desk now, but he hasn't said outright that he's going to veto it. So we're just going to have to keep a close eye.
Moving on, there's also a suite of bills aimed at bolstering Wisconsin's dairy industry after years with a lot of dairy farms going out of business in the state. We have a lot coming from the governor, from state lawmakers. What are some of the high points of these proposals?
So I think one of the big proposals that people have been talking about focuses on dairy exports from Wisconsin. It would task the state agriculture department and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to work together to increase dairy exports from Wisconsin to at least 20% of the nation's milk supply by 2026. An amendment to that bill also looped in meat and crop exports and increasing those as well. So kind of setting a new goal and priority there, putting some state resources behind that. There are a couple tax proposals that have to do with farmers being able to deduct health insurance costs from their income taxes, some costs of agricultural buildings on their property from property taxes, and then a bunch of different state grants that would go to small dairy processors across the state to support their work.
What are the prospects for this variety of bills? All of them expected to pass, or is this going to be a mixed bag?
that's kind of another uncertainty right now in the legislature. These all passed the state assembly last week with overwhelming bipartisan support. They did really, really well. But they're a little bit of a question mark in the state Senate. The state Senate hasn't had the opportunity to weigh in on particularly some of the changes that were made to these bills as they worked their way through the process. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says his members are still assessing them and seeing what they like from this package. The Senate is expected to come in sometime in March for its last day of the year. So we're not going to know for sure until these bills are taken up on the floor or bypassed and never voted on.
We're talking to Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, about some of the many pieces of legislation in the closing days of the legislative session. Here's one, Laurel, that kind of came out of nowhere as a controversy. This effort to prevent future backlogs of evidence kits in sexual assault cases. This had been a big problem. The state got caught up. Attorney General Josh Call, a Democrat, was supporting a plan to do something about this. It passed pretty handily in the Senate. Then what happened?
So essentially what happened was it's gotten kind of backed up in the state assembly, and then the state assembly ended up passing a different bill that's enough of a sort of diversion or deviation from the previous bill that the Senate would have to take up those changes in order for it to go to Governor Evers' desk. And it's looking like that's not going to happen. So the assembly version of the bill added some things that Democrats were really unhappy with. They called them poison pills, actually. So what the assembly bill added was some language about individuals who are in the country illegally, and if they are accused of sexual assault, they would have to be reported to federal immigration officials. Another element of the proposal would allow victims of sexual assault to be automatically eligible for the state's private school voucher program, regardless of any previous block on eligibility that they may have had just because of state requirements for that program. So really, those are two things that Republicans and Democrats in the Capitol tend to disagree about a lot, right? Private school vouchers and immigration. So that getting looped into this bill about processing sexual assault kits in Wisconsin was a really contentious debate in the assembly and the subject of a lot of strong words as the assembly wrapped up its work this year.
That said, Republicans have majorities in both chambers. They don't need Democrats. Is there a thought that Senate Republicans would take up this assembly version and run with it?
It's looking like that's not going to happen. Based on what Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald has told us thus far, he said that the Senate was pretty happy with the bill that they passed, which didn't have those additional provisions in it. That was a bill that had, as you mentioned before, pretty broad bipartisan support, had the backing of the Attorney General as well. So I think, at least according to what Senator Fitzgerald has told us so far, they're just going to stick with that previous action and not act on this new assembly bill.
All right, so those are some of the big news getters there. Let's do a little lightning round here, Laurel, and look at some of the many items out there. Changing the bar closing time to 4 a.m. in a handful of counties for one big reason. What's going on?
So this is a big one. This kind of led the assembly to stay in extra late for its last day of session last week as people were debating this and figuring this out. Basically, what it would do is it would allow 14 counties in Wisconsin to stay, to have bars stay open until 4 a.m. during the Democratic National Convention, which is, of course, going to be in Milwaukee in July. Some lawmakers have expressed concern about that, saying, you know, that's just going to lead to more people who have had too much to drink being on the roads in the wee hours of the morning. Other people have said, you know, we're hosting this big national event. We want to provide services to these people and have establishments open late to serve them as they'll be out socializing after the convention is over. So that's out of the assembly now. It passed with a pretty solid bipartisan vote, actually. It was a vote of 85 to 12. So lots of Democrats joining Republicans on that. But we're not exactly sure, again, what's going to happen in the state Senate with it.
Then there's the minimum age to purchase tobacco products in Wisconsin to 21. This has already changed at the federal level. I'm told it does matter here in Wisconsin if we do it. Where is that now?
Yeah, so that is a proposal that's tied into some federal changes. That passed the assembly last week, actually with a unanimous voice vote, so really strong support for the proposal, but it has yet to be taken up in the Senate. And I haven't heard a lot of discussion about that in the Senate, so it's going to be interesting to see how that one moves forward if it does.
A tough on crime package passed by Republicans going to the governor now. What is it? What are we expecting or looking for, at least, from the governor?
So this is something that has been really contentious in the Capitol over the past several weeks. This is a Republican-backed package of bills that basically increases criminal penalties for a variety of things in Wisconsin. One proposal in particular would send people or recommend a hearing to send people back to prison if they commit another crime when they're out on probation. Another proposal would increase the number of things a juvenile offender could be imprisoned for in Wisconsin. Republicans are pushing this as a way to respond to and kind of crack down on crime, whereas Democrats have said this isn't how you deter crime. It's a very philosophical difference here. And they say that our prisons are already overcrowded and the state doesn't really have the money to house more individuals in the prison system. So what it's looking like right now is that these bills that are on Governor Evers' desk are not going to be signed. It looks like he's most likely going to veto these bills.
A lot more out there, Laurel. Anything else leap out to you that you're really watching for the outcome on?
Well, we're just keeping an eye on the state Senate. As you know, I mentioned they're expected to have their last day of voting coming up sometime next month. So we're really in the final stages of this legislative session. And whatever kind of moves forward or doesn't move forward at this point, that's all she wrote for 2020. So it's a really pivotal time for the legislature.
Laurel, thanks a lot for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White. We talked to her about the wrap-up of the State Assembly for 2020 and the chances for measures going forward in the State Senate and at the governor's desk.